You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. These words of Easter greeting have marked celebrations for followers of Jesus for close to two millennia. They convey the essential truth of our Easter message. Life is a continuity. Death is not the end. God is with us at all points of life, our birth, our death, and as we move into new life. That's a reason to shout hallelujah on a day like today. So we come together excited, many in new Easter clothes. Perhaps there are some who are still checking out the contents of their baskets after the Easter egg hunt this morning. Why do we gather, friends? We gather because there is power in this message that transcends time and place. We gather because we want to touch the hope of the Easter message when there are so many points at which our world seems hopeless. We gather today because even though we can never fully explain the impulse, we want to touch God. We want to connect with something more. Those are common, deep human yearnings, and that, friends, is why we are here. So all of the flowers and the trumpet fanfares, the chords of the organ, the rumble of the timpani, the joyous songs are reminders of this event which literally changed our world. If that is not worthy of a hallelujah, I don't know what is. Come on, convince me, convince me. I'll give you three. We'll do it on a count. One, two, three. Now you sound convinced and like Easter people. The gospel writer Mark was simple and straightforward in his telling of the story. So to move back a little bit from the reading this morning, we encounter Pilate, the Roman governor. And Jesus had been brought before him, and Pilate's decision was to wash his hands of the situation, and he turned Jesus over to the soldiers to be crucified. Well, the soldiers mocked him. They taunted him. They said to him, "Hail, hail, King of the Jews." And they led him to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And it was there that they crucified him, and they divided his clothes by casting lots. Well, at noon, the land darkened, and at 3, Jesus cried out his last words, and he died. He died. There were women who had been his followers that were there, a distance away. And they had to look and watch this horrific event. When evening cast its shadow on that day, Joseph of Arimathea, who strangely enough was a member of the council, but was also sympathetic to Jesus' message, he went to Pilate and he asked permission to retrieve Jesus' body. And Jesus' body was wrapped in linen and laid in a tomb that had been hewn out of rock. And as the story tells us, a stone was rolled into place. The tomb was sealed. It was over. It was all over. Now, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where his body had been laid. And they must have been devastated, absolutely devastated, because how else do we feel at the death of someone we love, someone we respect? Mark then goes on to tell us that Mary Magdalene, and this time Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, who were all followers of Jesus, were up very early on the day following the Sabbath, the third day of this ordeal. Jesus' burial had happened so quickly, they did not have time to properly anoint the body. And that's not a big surprise, because we have to remember that Jesus was executed. He was executed as a common criminal. Well, according to Mark, when they arrived at the tomb, the stone that had been covering the door was now rolled away. And when they entered the tomb, they were shocked. They were shocked to be greeted by this young man that they did not know, this young man who was dressed in white and who strangely said to them, "Why are you here? Why are you here looking for Jesus? He has been raised from the dead." And they looked around and they saw this empty tomb and they panicked. And the young man said to them, "Go tell Peter and the others that they will see Jesus." But the women ran. They ran. They ran from the tomb in fear. They ran from the tomb in amazement, telling absolutely no one. And that's how Mark ends his gospel. Believe it or not, he ends the gospel with the women running away in fear, telling no one. He didn't talk about sightings of Jesus. Nothing. In fact, friends, this ending was so shocking to the early Christian community that others attempted to write a longer, alternate ending. Another ending that we think got added to Mark's story in about the second century. But most scholars agree that this is exactly where Mark ended the story, with an empty tomb, and nothing more. Many have suggested over the ensuing centuries that surely Mark must have had something else in mind, and others say no. No, this was intentional. When you think about it, it's an incredible way to finish this story, leaving us hanging with the tomb being empty. And I would like to think and suggest that Mark did this on purpose. He did it on purpose, setting the stage for how empty changed the world. Now, empty is not a concept which conjures up positive feelings among us, I suspect. Think about it. There's no worse feeling than a car sputtering and stopping because it ran out of gas. Now, that's never happened to any of you, right? I'll confess it's happened to me. It's no fun looking at our checking accounts to see that they are empty and have gone into overdraft protection. It's certainly an annoyance when the refrigerator is empty of everything but condiments. What are you supposed to do with jelly, mayonnaise, and pickles? But the worst kind of empty, bar none, is when the coffee pot runs out at the church office. I'll tell you, it's ugly. It's enough to make some people lose their religion on the spot. But empty, friends, as we know, also has very, very tragic implications, well beyond annoyance. Well beyond annoyance for our human family. There are far too many children who must go to bed every night with empty stomachs because the shelves of the households are empty. There are far too many politicians and members of governments around the world who make promise after promise, but they are always empty words. Sometimes our hearts and our lives feel empty, so empty, and we wonder if it is even possible to carry on. But for Mark and his gospel, the empty tomb was something of great possibility, something that spoke so deeply to the mystery of life, something that caught Jesus' first followers completely off guard. Friends, I really love this gospel. I love this gospel because instead of trying to tie everything up with a neat and tidy bow, we're left with nothing but a big question mark. The tomb was empty. No more, no less. What did that mean then? And what does it mean for us now? Well, some of Jesus' followers, we know, were concerned that his body had been stolen. It was adding further insult to what was already a terrible time. Some of his followers were probably confused, trying desperately to make sense of all of this. We're reminded by the gospel writers that it didn't matter how many times that Jesus told his disciples what his fate would be. They just did not want to believe him or listen to him. There were probably those who just gave up. He was simply another teacher or another miracle worker. His three brief years of ministry came quickly, and they were gone just as quickly. And so some probably thought, it's just time to get on with life. Yes, Mark's ending to this story of Jesus' life was messy, leaving us with this empty tomb. What was a person to believe? But then we remember that this gospel was written long after the events of that first day of the week, so long ago. There were already stories and testimonies that spoke of Jesus defeating death and appearing to his followers, the resurrected Christ. And it had already set into place a movement that was changing people and was changing the world around them. Think about that. How clever Mark was in his writing to go back to that concept of empty. Because for him, empty was not a dead end. Empty was the place to begin. The power of the empty tomb is what is bringing hundreds of millions of followers to Jesus this very day, to little country churches and neighborhood churches and grand cathedrals, because this amazing event still reaches out to us and it still captures our imaginations. We've gathered here today in Westwood because we know how empty has changed our world. We've gathered because we know that when we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to follow his teaching to love God with our entire being and to love neighbor as self, we will not be the same. We are changed and different people. We now live to our greatest potential and God's hope for each of us who we might become. And in the process, friends, of that kind of living, we finally begin to understand God's never-failing love and grace. It starts to make sense, and it enables us to make the same proclamation that St. Paul did to the Corinthians: where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We need the empty tomb. We need the empty tomb because our world is hurting. Terrorism continues to upset the fabric of the everyday. Warfare continues to drain resources and leave damaged lives, damaged families, communities, and countries. We need the empty tomb to drain out all the voices of the fear mongers who con us into believing. We need to fear everyone and everything that is different than us. We need the empty tomb because it is the most powerful reminder that there has ever been of God's love for us and the hope and the grace which is ours. Friends, what does the empty tomb mean for you? Was it an end? Or does it represent a new beginning? Is it a story that is stuck in time? Or can the empty tomb change us and our world even to this day? Jesus promised his ancient followers that death was not the end, that he would always be with us, and that God's Spirit would always engulf us with love and with grace. And that same promise, friends, holds true for us today. So, shall we be people of the empty tomb, walking in the way that Jesus taught us, daring to be the hope for the world? Yes, friends, the empty tomb changed the world, and it can still do so. Shall we be a part of taking this profound good news into the world? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.